Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 63. Lord Krishna fights with Banasura, text number 29.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Trishiraste prasannosmi.
Prasannosmi.
Yetu te maj jaradhayam. Yonau smarati samvadam. Tasya tvanna bhavedbhayam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Trishiraste prasannosmi.
Trishiraste prasannosmi.
Yetu te maj jaradbhayam. Yonau smarati samvaram. Tasya tvanna bhavedbhayam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Trishiraste prasannosmi. Yetu te maj jaradbhayam. Yonau smarati samvadam. Tasya tvanna bhavedbhayam.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Ready?
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Trishiraste prasannosmi.
श्री भगवान उवाच
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
The Supreme Lord said.
The Supreme Lord said.
Shri Shiraha.
Shri Shiraha.
O three-headed one.
O three-headed one.
Te.
Te.
With you.
With you.
Prasanna.
Prasanna.
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Asmi.
Asmi.
I am.
I am.
Yetu.
Yetu.
May it go away.
May it go away.
Te.
Te.
Your mat,
mat,
my
jarat
of the fever weapon,
of the fever weapon,
bhayam
fear,
yaha
whoever
now
our
smarati
remembers
samvadam
the conversation
tasya
for him
what Of you,
Nabhavet,
there will not be,
Bhayam,
fear.
Translation: The Supreme Lord said, "O three-headed one, I am pleased with you. That's nice to hear. I'm pleased with you. May your fear of my fever weapon be dispelled, and may." Whoever remembers our conversation here have no reason to fear you. Purport. Here the Lord accepts the Shivadwar as his devotee and gives him his first order that he should never frighten by hot fever those who faithfully hear this message of the Lord. Om Ajanakimandasya Jimajana Salakara Chaksumilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Matekati Matsarasa Patambo Jo Radha Madana Maha. So, so nice here. We see that Krishna, he says, I am pleased with you. So, if I was thinking we'd go back to 22, verse 22. And he's not pleased with him in 22. But there's something that happens between 22 and 24. So, okay. So in 22, he says, after Lord Shiva's followers had driven away the Shivadwar, who had three heads and 3 feet, pressed forward to attack Lord Krishna. As the Shivadwar approached, he seemed to burn everything in the 10 directions. He was on fire. I mean, he was raring to go here. So that's the way he approached Krishna. Not very favorably, not at that point. Seeing then in 33, we'll skip 33. We'll just go to 24. 24 says, the Shivadwar, overwhelmed by the strength of the Vishnudwar, cried out in pain. But finding no refuge, the frightened Shivadwar approached Lord Krishna, the master of the senses, hoping, what's he hoping for? Hoping to obtain his shelter. So from 24 to today is, 29, he got it. So let's look at how he got it. You know, because here in 24, he's hoping to obtain his shelter. Thus, he joined his palms, and he began to praise the Lord. Okay, so we see how he's approaching. He's in trouble, right? He needs shelter. He's the distress that was covered. So he starts off, actually, I found it in the Krishna book. I was reading the same point in the Krishna book, and it's always so nice that you read these two. And he He starts off, So in the Krishna book, it says, the way it says it, he understood that without Krishna and Narayan, no one could help him. He therefore rightly took shelter of Lord Krishna, and with folded hands, he began to pray. So here he is. I'm reading from the Krishna book as opposed to the Bhagavatam, because it flows in a way that's easy for this. So he says, my dear Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. That's how he starts off. He wasn't respectful and he wasn't obeisant before. He was attacking. So now he's joined his hands. So we also find for ourselves that we also offer our obeisances, something that shouldn't be done as a mechanical. Each time we do that, we should put our consciousness there, add the consciousness. That's the currency when you pay your obeisances, consciousness. He puts it because. So now he's stating his realization. In other words, this material energy is working upon us. It's giving us a lot of distress. So at a certain point in time, we're going to admit defeat. And it says that we're liberated by sound. So we could say we've been soundly defeated. So in that, we're here to make advancement. H-E-R-E and H-E-A-R. We're here to make it. That's how. All right. So here he's saying, because, so this is how he's realized Krishna. Each one of us, we have material desires. There's external energy and there's internal energy. We're the marginal energy. We're in the process, by the great fortune of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, the Cyclic Succession, to come to realize that there's an illusion that we're in. The Krishna has an illusory energy that we've been captured by, and it's fueled by our rebellious attitude. So here we're seeing how he's been defeated, and all of his ideas are now finished. So Bhagavad Gita also says in 255 that when a person gives up all varieties of sense desire that arise from mental concoction. So when you've been defeated, you have to give something up. What are you giving up? You're giving up your mental concoctions of how you're going to overlord the material energy and try to find happiness separate from Krishna. So he finds satisfaction in self alone. Then he is in pure transcendental consciousness. So what is the self? Bhagavad Gita 8.3 says, your eternal nature is the self, Jivarasukhoi Krishnir Nityagatas. And to be engaged in that service, engaged. So who engages you in that service? The pleasure potency of the Lord. If you want to be happy, you have to be, Radharani gives happiness. That's the only place that you get it. So when you're engaged in devotional service and the Vandini Shakti, you also share in that by giving pleasure to Krishna. You secondarily get that. So in this, the verse that we read today, he was pleased and Krishna was pleased with him, and there's also a benediction. So we're going to go to that next after we just recognize his realization, because all of us are realizing, for instance, when the mind out of nowhere, apparently, it just a sense object appears on to your senses. It starts a process of contemplation that maybe you can be happy by obtaining this. However, if you nip it in the bud, in other words, the intelligence comes out at that moment. You have the first second is free. When you just look at something, it's not recognized exactly what it is. But then your intelligence comes out, which is empowered and infused by the bhakti intelligence coming from Krishna and your sadhana and Prabhupada's mercy, and you analyze it, happens in a half of a second, to whether it should be accepted or rejected. That's what happens. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, it says that one should mentally renounce. So at this point in time, the mind focused on something, the intelligence comes out with the bhakti intelligence, and it says, this is to be rejected. So we know that surrendering process, the first two items, accept those things favorable, reject those things unfavorable, that element is in the intelligence, the surrendered intelligence. It rejects that. So in the Bhagavatam, it's further explained, 325.33, that process is what is dissolving the subtle body of the false ego. That's how it gets dissolved by, it says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that it's being digested. So what happens is, in the stomach, when you eat something, you eat a lot of different things, but the stomach's got the job of sorting it out. It sorts out nutrition and waste. That's what it does. So the bhakti dissolving, digesting process takes place as a surrendering there. As he surrenders, he accepts, is this favorable or is this unfavorable? And that decision-making, it turns into nourishment or waste product. If not, you have a digestion problem. It turns into a weed. It turns into an aparad if it's not nipped in the bud. So that, I just want to interject with, that's how we're soundly defeated, by how we've taken these instructions to heart. And when that, every day, every moment, the different sense objects appear in the mind, and that's where the process is, if you surrender, it gets digesting your subtle body. And that also, if you look at it, that's the pillar of success. All those mental agitations, by dealing with them correctly, that becomes your pillar of success. So it's not something that's arbitrary. This is our stage that we're going through, the anartha nivritti stage. Okay, so he offered his obeisances, and then he says, you have unlimited potencies. Now, we have to also understand who's giving these prayers. I mean, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:32, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, isn't this what he was approaching him for, shelter? He says, though they be lower birth, women, vaishyas, and sudras, can obtain the supreme destination. So he didn't particularly mention six-eyed, three-headed, three-legged personalities like Shivadwar, but he's included in this group, you know. He's a strange-looking personality, you know. But yet, he's also included that if he approaches, and here's what he was realizing by his defeat. Just like every one of us, we're being defeated. The mind comes up with the next try, like the Jaras, is it Jaras Sundar? He kept trying over and over again. And we bring the soldier, all our fallible soldiers with us. I'll be happy with my, I'll be happy. So many different points. We'll get to that one in is it 11:230? I'll get to that one. That's what the benediction was. Let's see. Anyway, we'll get to that one in a minute. We'll just first we'll see. Here's what he's realized, is that his potencies are unlimited, which he found out his potency was limited. He thought before this encounter, he's never been defeated. Imagine your Lord Shiva's weapon, his ultimate weapon. You're not going to be defeated here. But now he says, Krishna, okay. He says, no one. So now he's expanding that idea. No one can surpass your potencies. Atmabandh Manyate Jagat. He was, I can't, right? If I can't, nobody can. That's who's speaking is Shiva Dwar. He's saying, no one can surpass your potencies, and thus you're the Lord of everyone. That means him also. He's speaking in very nice. Generally, people consider Lord Shiva to be the most powerful personality in the material world, but Shiva is not all powerful. You are all powerful. So right now, he's shifting his allegiance. He's recognized, I was taking shelter of Lord Shiva. Everybody thought he was all powerful, but now I see, actually, you're more powerful. So this is factual. You are the original consciousness or knowledge. Without knowledge or consciousness, nothing can be powerful. That's an interesting meditation to think about, that knowledge and consciousness are the same. Just like knowledge and qualities are the same. They're used sometimes in different contexts to bring it up, but your consciousness is your knowledge, and that knowledge manifests as your qualities. So let them be known by their qualities. And then a learned person, he has qualities. So there's all these things on the qualities. So you can, the academic world kind of messes this simple understanding up. They think that knowledge is different in qualities, but and also the smartest, they also want to do that. But we're understanding these qualities just like it says, for one who's not a devotee of the Lord, he has no good qualities because he's on the mental platform. So this mental platform, these are concocted ideas of overlording material nature that are being forced upon him according to the modes of nature he's in. But when one is surrendered, his qualities aren't from the modes of nature. His qualities are those 50 out of the 64 qualities of Krishna in minute detail. So they're actually divine qualities instead of the other side. A material thing might be very powerful, but without the touch of knowledge or consciousness, it cannot act. Just like if you could have a gun, it's a very powerful element, but it needs someone that uses it, and it either takes on a good quality or a bad quality by how it's being used. The material machine may be very gigantic and wonderful, but without touch of the supreme consciousness of knowledge, the machine is useless. So he goes through that, and he also points that out, that where does the consciousness come from? Some people think that it's all-pervading Brahman is where the universe, it manifested from Brahman. But he points it out. He says, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation is not the impersonal Brahman effulgence. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is resting on your personality, as is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. So he knew the Bhagavad Gita too. All right. So we're seeing his different prayers of how he's recognizing. It was a very thoughtful moment for him. His existence was being challenged at that moment. So then after he goes through the potencies, the origin, because if, like for instance, we have many instructions. We get a lot of instructions here in Krishna consciousness, like chant and be happy. So when someone says something, someone else may say, well, you have to consider the source. And it's generally used in a negative way. If someone says something, they say, well, you got to consider the source. So we could apply that in Krishna consciousness too. Chant and be happy. Okay, consider the source. He says, so if chant. So what is the source? Aham sarvasya prabhavo. He says, I'm the source of everything. So consider the source. Take your happiness in discussing about me. I'm giving you the intelligence out of my mercy. And that's it in a nutshell. All right. For the Bhagavatam scholars, that was the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita. I wasn't sure if everybody noticed that. So we consider the source of this chanting and of this information that's liberating us by sound. We're being... Okay, we got that one a couple of times. All right, so then he says the material body, which is, of course, how the illusion is manifest. How is this illusion manifested? Manifested by this body. aham bogey, I guess. I'm this body, I'm the modes of nature are forcing me to do everything. Siddho aham aham. Oh, Ishvara, Ishvara. I'm the controller. But, I mean, you really got to be covered a lot to not notice all the imperfections of your perfection. If I'm the controller, Siddho aham, I'm perfect. A lot of stuff's not working the way I want it to. All right, so this, and then how the time factor's moving, just like this body. Now this body's getting to be just like a container for different types of diseases. So I call it a jar of body, a jar of body, you know, a container. But Jammamrita, a jar of body. All right. This Sanskrit is kind of odd. I hope I'm not offending all the Sanskrit people. Anyway, it's the way I remember. I got a jar of body right now. So this fruit of activities, he mentions how that this whole, that's how the universe is created. It has a purpose. We have fruit of activities that give us the illusion, and now we're coming out of it. So he explains that, and then now he's recognized, okay, you won. Just like we had that original one time I was at a wedding, and I heard these, I think it was five things. It says, if you remember these five things, you'll never have any problems in your wedding. Anybody remember what they were? What the first one is the first one, the husband says to the wife, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. So now, what's he saying here? He says, I was wrong, Krishna. You're actually the controller. I was right. You were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And, well, we're working on trying to love you. So anyway, that these say anything that you hear in the material world, when you apply it to Krishna consciousness, it just makes so much sense. Because that's our, it's a surrendering process. We all thought that we were right. We were going to win, but we don't win in this world. Where Prabhupada says, if things are going good in the material world, that's your defeat, because you're getting covered more and more by that. The throwing potency is you think you can be happy in this world by doing something, and the covering potency is, yeah, I'm happy. So you get thrown and covered. So, all right. That was a little bit of the summary of how he got the Krishna to be pleased with him. Then Krishna gave him a benediction and us a benediction. And then I was thinking of, let's see if I wrote down the verse number, 11:37. There's a lot of nice verses in this 11:2. Oh, you probably knew that verse, didn't you? 11:37. I didn't write the Sanskrit. I'm sorry, I have trouble reading it, but I'll read English. Oh, you do know it. Okay, so here's the what we're becoming free from. Because we need a little bit more, it's repeated again. Even though in the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, it says there's no loss or diminution when you start this process, and it'll eliminate you from the worst kind of fear. So here's what that fear, how fear arises. Okay, so here's how it gets started, because it's also one of the Lord Brahma, when he created the world, the living entity is given five type of neshits engagements. So you start off right away with fear of death, anger after frustration, bali. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body. Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. Well, there it is. That's how you get it. Arises from the living entity misidentifies himself. When he misidentifies himself. because misidentified as a material body. Okay, so he misidentifies himself as the body. Why is that? Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turned away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipful deity, as his very life and soul. So there's a lot in that verse, isn't there? That's also got everything in it. Because how can we please? Here we hear about how the Shiva Dwar pleased Krishna. Where's our connection with Krishna? Our connection with Krishna, Saksat Hari Twaina, is that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Supreme Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. So who do you have to please? Yesha Prashada, Bhagava Prashada. If you don't, Nagati Patoki, then that doesn't work. So we do that. So now let's think a little bit about fear for a minute. This is how it arises from the misidentification. And we get that as soon as we come into the material nature as one of the five types of engagements that Lord Brahma has. And what's the other one? That the living entity is born into illusion, overcome by desire and hate. Okay, so... Okay, what's the famous verse that hooks these two points together so far? Getting rid of fear and... Oh, if I use that word, everybody will get it. Okay. He's offering his obeisances. That you have to stretch it a little. Okay, there we go. So I'll go down my, that if one surrenders, how do we surrender? We offer our obeisances. So by offering our obeisances, it says, Sarvadana, if you give up your other engagement, occupation, dharma, it's just Sarvadharma. So it's interesting if you look at dharma and you compare how it mentions give up all forms of occupations. So occupation, if you take the root part of that word, is occupy. How do you occupy your time? That's what your occupation is. Someone, because it's not always... It's like your dharma. Sometimes someone will say, I'm a housewife. How do you occupy your time? I'm a housewife. What's your occupation? You know, it's not just a business. It's how you occupy your time and what quality that you're performing it in. Yakaroshi, yakjanasi. Do everything for Krishna. And what, according to the knowledge that's manifesting your qualities and your consciousness, we can see where we are. So if fear is still there, that's a really good reflection. You can see, like, for instance, when you get sick, it's such a good time to think about dying, because most of the time we're too busy to think about dying. We've got too much to do to notice that we're almost, this body has a termination stamp on it. We have the fatal disease. You know what the fatal disease is that we have? Called janma. For one who's taken birth, death is certain. It's only a matter of time. It's fatal. It's fatal. Everybody has it. You're born with janma, and it's only a question of time. So, and for devotees, we see time as the material energy, and we're running back to Godhead, so we're running out of time. In fact, for devotees, we're almost out of time. If you're looking at it as time as... Words jump around in my head a lot like that. Anyway, so if you surrender, then Krishna says, don't fear. You can give up fear, because fear, as we just pointed out, is part of the external energy, right? It says, fear arises when the living entity misidentifies himself with material body because of absorption in the external energy. So if we engage in the internal energy, internal potency, By surrendering to Krishna and saying Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, what's the next two words? Krishna Prastaya. Very dear to Krishna. Who's pleasing Krishna? The spiritual master's pleasing Krishna. We surrender to those persons. Here we understand they please Krishna. He pleased Krishna. Shiva Dwar pleased Krishna. So we're always listening. We're always praying to those who have pleased Krishna. How about Tulsi? Namo Namo. Krishna. Prayasi. Prayasi. Very dear to Lord Krishna. And we're always praying like that. Please engage me. So, alrighty. How about 4:10 Bhagavad Gita? Just a little bit more about fear, since we're on the fear roll right now. 4:10. Who knows 4:10? Anybody know? 4:10? Oh, what is 4:10? Todd, look it up. Oh. And what happens when you're free from it and you have knowledge and qualities? Oh, there it is. Yeah. So this is right where we're going. It says, being free from attachment. Okay, what was the attachment? So the external energy manifesting as material body, which produces the fear. Oh, there's the fear. And the anger, because those two kind of go together. Material bodies mean contemplating the object of the senses, developing attachment, and then there's the anger. Okay, so he's free from the anger, so he must have some shelter. Being fully absorbed in me, oh, there it is. Oh, taking refuge in me, oh, there it is again. Many, many persons in the past became purified by this knowledge. So how is that knowledge purifying you? You have a thought, your intelligence comes out in the form of bhakti, maybe 10-10, and you analyze it, whether this is to be accepted or rejected. If you reject it, it turns into waste material, which is dissolving the false ego and the whole subtle body. Knowledge of me. And thus they obtain transcendental love for me. So by hearing these verses today, because this is the only verse that Krishna speaks right now. I mean, we had the Shiva Dwar. He's been talking for, from like 24 to 29, he's been talking, giving his prayer, so we got to hear Shiva Dwar in his surrendered mood. We didn't hear him in his other mood. We know what he was doing, but here he was surrendering. He had a change of attitude because he recognized that he's been defeated. So that same way, this same process is for us. When the thoughts come, the intelligence comes out, the bhakti intelligence comes out, it deciphers, it's something like a lymph system. It encapsulates the verse, and then it either digests it. Actually, that lymph does digest. And then, or it is welcomed, it's identified, oh, this is nourishment for my devotional service. So that's what I had to say, pretty much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We take any comments, questions, or criticisms.
Oh. in this verse 11:237 that you quoted, Prabhupada translates it differently in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Oh, okay.
And it says, the Pariyo Smriti, he translates as one undergoes a role reversal.
Oh.
And instead of seeing himself as Krishna's servant, becomes Krishna's competitor.
I got a little thing on that myself. I'd say that this material world, this is for love rehab. We've been sent here because we needed some rehab. Even though it's the most natural thing, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, because of this trauma of the false ego, we forgot how to do it. So when you go for rehab into a hospital, the first thing they give you is this little bracelet on your arm, which is a temporary ID. Temporary, so false ID. You get a temporary ID, but the unique feature, this false ID for the material world, because you're in here for rehab, they give you a Purusha ID for role play reversal. You're going to get a Purusha ID instead of a Prakriti. You're Prakriti by nature. But for rehab, we're going to give you a Purusha ID. And in this Purusha ID, as you pointed out, Ishwaraham, I'm going to try to control everything. And you know what happens when you try to control everything? Not much. Actually, what happens is there's a in this world, they have a term called unrequited love. That you give yourself, you know, you really want to, exploit, but it goes by a different name here. And then even after you've done so much service, selfless service, like parents, they do so much for their children. And then the kids, they become a teenager. And all of a sudden, they may go away, they do different things. I remember my mother once said to me, "I'm your mother." I must have said something. I don't know exactly what it was. It was a while ago. But she says, "To your mother?" And all I can remember is the way that she said it. I can't remember anything else about it because it was probably over 50 years ago. And I just remembered she was hurt by something that I said thoughtlessly. So in this world, even though we have these temporary IDs, these Purusha IDs of thinking that we're the enjoyer, we find that it's set up in such a way that we also experience unrequited love here. And because we're devotees now and we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're always thinking of Krishna, we can think, "Have I ever done something like this to you, Krishna? And now, how does that feel when unrequited love is directed towards you?" And you can use that generally a tragic, heart-rending situation when it comes to fructification in this material world to pray, because now you're out of designations. You're not seeing the other person as anything other than the way that this world is the role play for the false ego to come back to his consciousness of that he's a servant of Krishna. And in that mood, he can pray, "Oh, if I've caused you to feel the way I'm feeling now," and then he can pray with such sincerity and feeling, a lot of feeling at that particular moment, because when one's hurt, he's generally, his heart is hurt. So he's located it. Most of the time we can't even locate our heart because we're mental and we're doing so much other crazy things. But when one is feeling a heartache or a heartbreak or one of those type of moments, he's in his heart. And in meditation, one is not in his mind, so to speak. He's in his heart. He's seeing through it, just like a windshield of a car is required to see through, but you can't focus on it, or you can't see where you're going. Sometimes if a bug hits your windshield and you look at that bug, you can't see past the windshield. So we want to see past the mind from the heart, Prita Adikavaye. So Krishna's giving this knowledge for us to recognize the utility. This material world, everything has a utility. It's built into everything. Krishna, Prabhupada pointed out in the Krishna book, he says that pure love of God is intrinsically integrated into everything. So it's there. It's just in the Sudasattva platform, which we have to learn how to access. And then Krishna and you are both on the same wavelength, so to speak. You're Krishna, you're Nija Ishtadev Spurti. He's manifesting because you've qualified your surrendered attitude for access there. Yes, ma'am. It may be a mental concoction, so take it with a little grain of salt. You know, that's just Madonifying things.
So what I was wondering is, if you could, first of all, I used to have a book. I had so many books came into my hands, the Prabhupada's books, and I don't know if I still have it. It may be in a storage unit in St. Louis.
Okay.
But it was called Prabhupada's Analogies, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I
remember that Prabhupada's Analogies? It was amazing. So I was trying to refresh my memory on what Prabhupada was saying about the fever. The fever goes down when you're
Well, the material existence is considered a fever. So most advertising is to increase your fever. Sense gratification is a fever. So that's very nice. So by here, we also become free from the fever of sense gratification. And that fever, when you get it up to a certain point, there's a thing called, is it hysteria? What's the word you become when you have a very high fever?
Delirium.
Okay. Yes, so when your fever comes down, then you become dira. And you're not affected by happiness and distress because you're recognizing that's also very dear to Krishna when they're not influenced by the happiness and distress. The happiness in the material world, everything acts the wrong way. You know, you get some happiness and it's just the covering potency. Oh, I'm so nicely covered now. You know, so, and thrown deeper into the material world. And by the information we have, 8,400,000 species, and a lot of them are in Florida. We have so many different species here, especially in the summertime. So it's not a bluff. There's all these different species, and they all thought it was a good idea. You know, oh yeah, I can exploit the material world this way. So now we're understanding when we see all these different species, it's nice to be kind to them, but also look at it in a 18th chapter, I forgot to read. There's a lot of stuff I didn't cover that I wanted to. Was in the mode of goodness, one knows what is to be feared and what is not to be feared. What's the saying that they always have sayings that you can apply? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So a devotee, he'll be very cautious where someone who's not in intelligent mode of Krishna consciousness. He'll rush it. He'll think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he'll be so excited. But that excitement, you have to review. So by having sadhana, we go through that. And that pain, that's a wonderful, practically, it really gets your attention. Nothing else can get your attention as much as pain does, practically. Like you can have a little pebble in your shoe and you'll ignore it for a while, but you won't ignore it for long. It'll just take you, no matter what you're doing, you'll stop to take that pebble out of your shoe. So Krishna, he's reminding us all the time. So that the pain of this world is extraordinarily wonderful in one sense. Not that anybody asked for it, maybe Queen Kunti, but I mean, everybody else. We don't ask for it, but when it comes, it has its utility to think of it in different ways. And as time goes on, we have the Jaravati. We have more opportunities to pray in different ways, to utilize it and make it feel too. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.